Thank you, Stuart, for that song service, and thank you for all the members who are here today. And we have visitors among us, and we appreciate your presence, and we're so glad that you're here, and we welcome you back at every opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. Appreciate Connor and his first time getting to read the scriptures up here. You did a great job, and it's always, for young folks to get up and to take part in the service, it's always an encouraging thing. So we definitely appreciate Connor and him doing that, being willing to do that. Brother Guy sends his greetings this morning. He said he wishes he would be with us today. He said he's just trying to get his energy, and I guess the medicine, just trying to get it to work itself out, and we just are glad he's out of the hospital, and just we definitely wish him well on his road to recovery. I know that we have some folks that's been out, and it's good to see you back as well, and just glad to be here this morning. This morning, we're going to be talking about considering yourself, and it's easy sometimes to see the problems in the lives of others, isn't it? Sometimes it's very easy to point out and to say, you know what, they're having some issues. Sometimes we're eager to go to those brothers and sisters, we're eager to rebuke them, but before we do, we need to do something. We need to consider ourselves. Consider ourselves and listen to what Paul told the brethren again in Galatia in chapter 6 verses 1 through 4 that Connor read this morning. He says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, and bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall we have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So when we have a brother and a sister who has fallen away, and maybe they're falling into sin, and it's our responsibility, we're to go to them and we're trying to restore our brother and sister, we are to consider ourselves. Consider ourselves. Why would we need to do that? We're thinking about them, if we're the ones that are faithful, and we're wanting to go to them, we're wanting to consider ourselves, and you know, why do we need to do that? They're the ones that are at fault. They're the ones that are in sin. But he answers that, doesn't he? He says, "Lest thou also be tempted." You consider yourself. Could it happen to you? Could it happen to me? You see, when we're trying to help someone, we also could fall into that same temptation as the person who's asking and seeking help. You know, is it possible? Is it possible to do that? And we know it is. Because in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all fall. We all fail. We all fall into our own temptations. And it's no wonder that Paul says, consider yourself. Consider yourself. Matt needs to consider himself. And we need to realize that when we're considering ourselves, that we have to be careful when we're restoring an overtaken brother or sister. And we have to remember that even like in Jude chapter 20, we have to remember to have compassion. We have to remember whenever we're trying to restore someone that we are to have compassion on those individuals. And we see from Jude verses 20 and through 22, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and an eternal life." And he says, some of those, what do you have to have? Have compassion. Have compassion, making a difference. To some of our brothers and sisters, in order to make a difference, we have to have compassion on them. Compassion is that sympathetic pity or that concern for the sufferings or the misfortunes of others. Compassion, it motivates people to go out of their way to help the physical, to help the mental, to help the emotional pains of another and themselves. Compassion, it involves allowing ourselves to be moved by that suffering and experiencing the motivation to help alleviate the pains or the stress or even try to prevent something from happening. The very act of compassion itself is defined as helpfulness. And if we want to know compassion, We can remember the story of the Good Samaritan, can't we? He went above and beyond. He wasn't the one that saw and kept going. But when he saw there was a need, regardless of who it was, he stopped and he took the time to go to that person, to help that person. He truly showed us to love thy neighbor as thyself. We see also from the best example of Jesus, when he went about all the cities and the villages, here he is, he's teaching them in the synagogues, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's healing all the sicknesses. He's healing all the diseases among the people. He sees the multitudes. He sees them. They're fainting. They're scattered abroad, and they look like they are a sheep that doesn't even have a shepherd. And he said to his, and what does he have? He says he has there, I don't know, he was moved with compassion. He felt their pain. And he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, when we look out in this world, we see a whole lot of folks who are sick. We see a whole lot of folks who are spiritually sick, and that they are in need of someone of the one who heals. And what do we have with them? Those people who are spiritually sick, brothers and sisters. What do? Do we act like they're not there? Or are we moved with compassion? Do we consider ourselves? Do we think about, you know, what it would be like if I was the one in that position? So we can move with compassion on those individuals, and we can have compassion for them. We can feel their pain, and we can reach out to them. Sometimes we have to do a little bit more, though, don't we, than having compassion. Because another way that we have, when we're considering ourselves and when we're looking for individuals that may need to have a different approach. Because in Jude, continuing there in verse 23, he says, "And others you save with fear, you pull them out of the fire." You pull them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. There, here you can see that there's a sense of urgency here, that to some there has to be an immediate action. There's no time to waste. Pull them out of the fire. Can you think of maybe a circumstance, or, you know, past or a present circumstance or situation where an immediate action is needed? Just the other day, and this is not necessarily with a spiritual sickness, but the other day, one of our teachers was talking to me and telling me about that their daughter was going down the road, and there was a child, a small child, probably 4 or 5 years old, that was on Highway 99 running out and forth and sat in the middle of Highway 99. You're going to have compassion. You're going to go by, maybe somebody else will take care of that. No, she stopped immediately and said, I need to take care of the situation. Sometimes we have brothers and sisters that we have to do that way. Sometimes there are things in their life that we have to pull them out of the fire. Sometimes we have to do those things, and sometimes the same is true. You know, sometimes immediate action is necessary. But what do? We consider ourselves, don't we? There may be some situations sometimes where we need to be pulled out of the fire. Maybe we're going down a path that we shouldn't be going, and it needs to be corrected, and it needs to be corrected immediately. Because you see here, when they pulled them out of the fire, what did they hate? Did they hate the sinner? Or did they hate the garment that was stained with sin? You see, that's the same thing. When we are considering ourselves, when we don't want to be tempted with the things that they're tempted with, because we have our own temptations. But when we're pulling someone out of the fire, when we're having compassion on them and trying to get them back, when we are considering ourselves, you see, it's the sin that we hate. It's the sin that God hates, because He has compassion. He loves us all. But sometimes we fall into that way of the sin. Now unto Him, He says, that is able to keep you from falling. You see, we have to look to the one who gives us strength. We have to one that God, He gives us the strength not to fall. Sometimes we got to share that though with others, don't we? We have to encourage them. We have to think about that because they have temptations. They have struggles. We have temptations. We have struggles. And we have to be considerate of them. And we have to let them encourage them and to let them realize that it is our God that gives us the strength to not fall because He gives us that strength. He gives us that ability. He wants us to be presented as faultless before Him. And see, when we can be presented spotless before Him, what glory He gets and what exceeding joy that we can have when we do that. Last Sunday, I believe it was, I read to you a text message from one of our brothers and sisters who had fallen away. And I put it back up here because I want us to look at it again. Here, Jason, he said, I was wondering if you might ask the church to pray for me. I need help being humble. I'm faced with demons at work like drugs and the worst of the worst. I'm maintaining, but it's hard sometimes. I just needed a little help to continue being strong for my family. Failure is no longer an option. I will win this battle, but I can't do it alone. I can only do it with help from God. I ran from Him long enough. I want to embrace Him. Please pray for me. We can't ever give up on a brother and sister in Christ, one of our brothers and sisters who has fallen away. If we consider ourselves, would we want the faithful to forget us? You know, am I guilty of this as well? You know, there's so many people that's left the church. And I'm not just talking about O'Neill, but just left the church in general. What are we doing? How are we approaching them? I know how we need to approach them, by considering ourselves, lest that we're also tempted. Does this call for help resemble our life? Does it resemble someone that we love's life? I saw a picture posted of a community member not too long ago. Someone who had gotten involved with drugs. It was a picture from several years ago and a picture now. You could not even recognize the individual. See, sometimes we have, and I know it's like, well, if they're not going to help themselves, we can't help them. Well, we still help. We still lend that hand. And when I'm considering myself, and when we consider ourselves, could this ever happen to us? We can look at statistics about drug overdoses. This is 2017. 70,000 people were over drug overdoses. 192 drug overdoses deaths every day. 88,000 people die from alcohol-related causes, which makes it the third leading preventable cause, and that's behind tobacco use and poor diet and exercise. 40 million Americans. 40 million Americans ages 12 and older, that's 1 in 7 people abuse and are addicted to nicotine, alcohol, and other drugs. That's more than the number of Americans that have heart conditions, diabetes, or cancer. Think about that, 1 in 7. If we have 280 people present today, 40 of you would be in that category. 40 people. Consider thyself. Could this happen to me? Could this happen to someone that I love? And now, you might be saying, you know what? This really doesn't apply to me because that's not my struggle. You see, but drugs may not be your temptation, but I can guarantee it something else is. And is this sermon about drug abuse? Or is this sermon more about a call of awareness that it can happen to you? It can happen to me if we don't consider ourselves. Don't think for a minute that a person who has become addicted to drugs or addicted to something, that they woke up that morning saying, you know what, today I'm starting my addiction. It started small And then it grew out of control. So today, this morning, what is your struggle? What is your struggle? May not call it an addiction, but for many it's struggles. There are people that struggle with gambling, with food, sex and porn, prescription drugs, using the internet, shopping, playing video games, working, exercising, obsessions, harming themselves, cutting, outbursts of anger, aggressive behavior, cursing, stealing, smoking, vaping. The list could go on and on and on and on. What's your struggle? What's Matt's struggle? You know, when we consider ourselves, we can look and we can read that we know that every one of us in this building has some temptation or struggle that we're going through, or we have a loved one that's going through that. I know the other day that someone even told me, said, I don't think there's any family that has a struggle that they're going through. And that's true. Because we know from James 1, 14 and 15, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And everybody in this building, we have our own lust. And when we're drawn away from those things, and when they're enticed, and when we partake of that lust and it's conceived, what happens? It brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, what happens? It brings forth death. We know that all of us it's capable of reaching any of us. That's why it's important for us to consider ourselves. That's why even James, think about what James said in the very next verse. He's talking to brothers and sisters, and he just said, every man is tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. And then what does he say? Do not err, my beloved brethren. He's talking to his brothers and his sisters, and he's saying, don't you err. Don't you make this mistake. Because we know, he says, when sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. And we know that from Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. The consequence for our sin is death. That's why it's very important, and it's diligently that we, each and every day of our life, that we consider ourselves. We consider ourselves. That's why, again, we go back to the text that Connor read this morning. If you're overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, those who are spiritual, those who are faithful, you restore that person in the spirit of meekness. Don't think that it can't happen to you, because it can. We have to humble ourselves. We can't be lifted up with pride, because we know when we lift it up with pride, hard is the fall from it. It's our responsibility to stay spiritual. It's our responsibility to stay humble when we are dealing with our brothers and sisters who are overtaken in a fault. We're to bear their burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you see, that man, this man mentioned right here in verse 3, does he have a spirit of meekness? If a man thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Sometimes we lift our own selves up on a pedestal. But Matt, along with everybody else in this building, we're all on the same level. We all are sinners who are looking to the one who can heal. We're looking to Jesus. Just because we're faithful doesn't mean that we're too good to talk to others. We shouldn't be afraid of what others are going to say about, well, you know what? Look at them. They were out there with that person, and you know what kind of person he is. You know what kind of person she is. Let your work prove itself. Let our work prove itself that we are in, you know, and we know if we are following the footsteps of Jesus, he himself was accused of this. In Luke 7, verse 34, what did it say? The Son of Man, they said, here he is. He's coming and eating and drinking. Behold, look at that gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. That was the description they gave of Jesus. That was the description they gave of our Savior. That was the description they gave of the Son of God, that he was a gluttonous man. He was a winebibber. He was a friend of publicans and sinners. Did that stop him from reaching out? Did that stop him from showing compassion? Did that stop him from pulling them out of the fire? You see, when we look here in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Those people that were considered, maybe they were the wine-bibbers, maybe they were the publicans, maybe they were the group of sinners. What did those individuals do when they saw Jesus? Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. By Jesus having compassion, we see where those that were lost, we see where they turned. They turned to the one who could heal them. They turned to the one who could forgive them. But again, what do the Pharisees and the scribes do? He's receiving sinners. He's eating with them. You see, his love for them went beyond what others thought. He had a will to do, and that was to come and seek and save the lost. And if we're following in his footsteps, that's what Matt's going to be doing. That's what you're going to be doing. We're going to be trying to seek and save those that are lost. You see, Jesus treated the sinners like they were good. He treated them like they were worth saving. And when we do that, we can reach others who were lost. These individuals, they sought something. They sought something that would fulfill their void. They sought Christ who would make them whole. You see, when sinners, when people with struggles, when they see Jesus, they see the way. They see the way out of their struggles. They see the way out of their darkness. They see the way. They see the truth that sets them free. They see the life that will get them out of the darkness of death. When sinners, when they see Jesus, they see the light that leads them out of the darkness of sin. He said, I am the light of the world. And if we follow it, he says, he that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now there may be some that you are working on, that you are talking with, and they are rejecting. But guess what? They can still hear what you're saying. They still know that you care. And they can't ever say that we didn't care about them. May our lost brothers and sisters, may they see in us the light of Jesus. May they see the light of Jesus radiating out of us, from within us. May we be that His light that shines as that beacon of hope to others. You see, when we help bear those burdens of others, we can help them to overcome. In James 1, verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that does what? He endures temptations, for when he's tried. You see, when we endure those temptations, sometimes we're weak and we fall into those temptations, but when we endure, when we're tried, we're going to receive a crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love Him. We can encourage those who maybe who are weaker in the faith. See, because for all of us who struggle with sin, there is hope. There is hope for every one of us. In Jesus, there is hope. It's in Him, in our Savior, where hope is. We can see, and if we have a sin in our lives, in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, what does that sin do? It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Sin is a weight, it's a burden. Talking with Noah the other night, he said, you know, after he was bad, he said, I just feel so much better. And I know I've heard other people say, you know, after they've become a Christian, it's like, oh, I just feel like there's just this burden has been lifted off my shoulders. And when somebody's come forward and they've asked for forgiveness of sins, like, you know, I slept better tonight, you know. Why? Because sin weighs us down. Sin causes us to it just bears on us, and we're trying to carry this load when Jesus has already carried it for us, and He's willing to take it if we'll just give it to Him. So here, what are we as Christians, what are we to do? We are to run with patience that race that's set before us. But when we run with patience, who do we look to? We're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and who is the finisher of our faith. He endured that cross for us so that we don't have to endure the pains and the torments of sin that causes in our life. You see, for our youth, all of our young people here, the psalmist said, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." Can we say that? Can you say that? Is Jesus your hope? What are we waiting for? Here we have in Psalms 39 verse 7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you." Where is our hope this morning? Where is our hope this morning? As we were preparing our minds right now, and you're probably, hopefully you're as I am, examining ourselves and preparing our minds, and we're thinking about it and thinking about our own self. We're girding up the loins of our mind. We're preparing our minds, and we're being sober. We're hoping to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're hoping to the end. Those of us who are Christians, that hope, what a lively hope it is. It's a hope that helps us to endure those temptations. You see, that hope is one of eternal life, which we know our Father, He gave us. He cannot lie. He promised this hope before the world began, and that hope is there for us. May we all, every one of us, be bound up in that hope through the power of the Holy Ghost in Romans 15 verse 13. So this morning, consider yourself. This morning, consider yourself. As I have to consider myself, and I have to think about this question, do I have hope? Do you have hope? Do you have hope? Can those things, how beautiful heaven must be, and that song that we sang was one day last week, I think, "My name is written in the book." Is it? Has it been marked out? You know that. I know that. Do you have hope? This morning, are you struggling with sin? To recover from sin, first you've got to examine yourself. You have to admit that you have sin. You've got to recognize that you can't do it alone. And you must make that decision to turn your life over to God. Come to the one who gives strength. Come to the one who forgives. Come to the one who heals all your broken pieces. Come to the one who provides that peace to that past life of sin that sometimes we keep bringing up in our minds. He's dealt with it. He's taken it away, but we keep bringing it up sometimes. Is Christ your Savior this morning? Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins. Is He your Savior? If not, make the best decision of your life this morning. Become a child of God today by believing on our Lord Savior Jesus Christ and being baptized for the remission of your sins. This morning, consider yourself. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come?